The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Andrea Kaye Show. She's blonde, 5'2", and 102 pounds of dynamite in a dress. Here she is, Andrea Kaye.
Welcome to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. I don't know if y'all follow me on the socials. Hopefully you do. If you do, find me at Andrea Kaye wherever, on Facebook, Twitter, Insta. I posted a pic of Nick Nolte today and said that basically was it wasn't his mugshot, but it was almost that bad, saying, you know, basically this is how I look, finally making it to Friday. I don't know if y'all feel the way I do, but it's been a week. I am here to tell y'all it has been a week. And if y'all can continue to let me put it out there, prayer warriors, I don't want to get too personal, but you're my family and friends out there. If y'all can just pray over someone very dear to me is struggling with his health today. And if y'all can just lift him up in your prayers and just ask for the Lord to place his healing hands on him, I'd really, really appreciate it. All right. Still got a great show to pull off for you guys tonight. There's some very serious stuff going down. We are literally on the brink of World War III. And that's not just about the war that's going on inside of the U.S. And that is the war between the government and the American citizens today. We've got that to get into. And all that that implies, because there's even border crisis nonsense as a part of that. We're also going to have some laughs at the same time, because we do have Kamala Harris as a vice president, right? And we have lots of Democrat Congress people that are crazy and insane and don't have the sense God gave a donut. So we're going to have some fun along the way. Next hour, we're going to have Hero of the Week and Stink of the Week. So buckle up, get ready to join us for the next 2 hours. And if you hear, I'm sniffling because the shift in weather from dry to humid, dry, it's like mother, sister, mother, daughter, whatever the movie was. It's just wreaking havoc on my allergies right now. All right. So before I go any further, let me bring in my brother. It is DJ Sesame Broccolini.
I'm as mad as I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah. What a week it's been. And can I just say today's little... It all started with the fact that for some reason Mike Johnson's carrying water for the deep state. And I've tried to be generous with him and I've tried to make sense of what he's doing. But now I've lost all hope. I just feel like he's made me a fool. You know, I just feel.
Well, and I tell
like
you, he's making Trump a fool, because with what went down with this FISA spying on the American people, Trump really should not have taken the stage with him in Mar-a-Lago tonight to talk. So let's get into it. So the last few days we've been telling you guys about how the FISA abuse reauthorization, because that's what it is. The FISA court operates as nothing but a ruse to abuse the U.S. government against its people. And the which is why it's even kind of a charade that the authorization is up on the 19th. I mean, honestly, when you think about where we're at as a nation, I mean, why are they even bothering? Is even a vote to reauthorize it anything but a charade at this point? Because does this government ever follow the law? I mean, what was there another announcement today to another tune of $7 billion of student loan payoffs? Even after the Supreme Court said it's illegal and it's unconstitutional, they're going to do it anyway. So why are we even bothering with the sham of votes taking place that has to do with the FISA court and spying on Americans? Because they do whatever they dang well want to do, regardless of what the law is. I mean, Andy Biggs talked yesterday, 3.4 million warrantless searches on Americans, 278,000 were already illegal. 19,000 times they spied on donors to congressional candidates under the Foreign Surveillance Act. Like what, 19,000 people were suspected of chatting with ISIS? But since they did take a vote, one of the things, our man Andy Biggs, memo to me, I have reached out to his people to get him back on the show. With everything going on, he really didn't have time this week. But he put through, he put forth an amendment, said, okay, if you're going to shove this crap on us, can you at least add an amendment that requires a warrant before they start spying on Americans? And 86 Republicans today voted against that amendment. It's bad enough that your Republican Party is voting to keep the FISA Abuse Act. But now they voted to not even require a warrant. This is a complete destruction of your Fourth Amendment rights. And on top of it, DC Drano tweeted out, no, Wesley Hunt did. Congressman Wesley Hunt tweeted out, the White House circulated a memo today calling the Fourth Amendment a threat to national security. Then they made calls to whip votes against the warrant requirement. The Constitution is under assault by the very people claiming they're defending democracy. The Fourth Amendment right is a threat to our security, says me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's I guess it's just we're in this very precarious situation where the government is just completely at odds with us, I guess. But it's even more sinister because they treat us like terrorists, like criminals. And it's like the Constitution at this point is worthless. And for me, it's just what do we do about it is the question I keep racking my brain over. Like we sit here and can say, oh, it's unconstitutional. They don't care. And they keep getting away with it. Over and over and over again. And the only thing I can think of is we need someone in office in the White House who's actually going to cut the FBI budget, push back on this. But also, where are the courts? This doesn't seem constitutional at all. So am I missing something? Where are the courts?
Well, the courts are gone. They've been packed with well, this hasn't – well, there's a FISA court. Right. So
but it couldn't be like the Supreme Court that weighs in, or somebody else couldn't come in and say, hey, that's clearly unconstitutional.
So far, I don't know that there's been any attempt to take it to the Supreme Court and get a ruling on it, because we have co-equal branches, one of which is the legislative branch. And there's also language going on. And so far, I think the language I'm not articulating it very well. I don't know why, if they've been doing this without a warrant, that it hasn't already made its way to the Supreme Court. We already know that the Fourth Amendment's been shredded. We have FBI whistleblowers. Somebody mm-hmm. has to take mm-hmm. it to the Supreme Court. They don't just go, oh, you know, we see what's going on and we don't like it and we're going to step in. There's a legal process that has to take place. And the Republican Party could be a part of it, because when they had and allegedly cared about having the majority, well, when they had the majority, they had the subpoena power. They have subpoena power. We don't control the Department of Justice. But when we did, what did the Republican Party do? This FISA stuff was passed under a Republican administration. Because what you should be understanding right now is how the Republican Party is in on it. 86 Republicans today voted against having a warrant. A memo was circulated by our own government. As Thomas Massie said, Speaker Johnson, 86 voted against the amendment. Then they later on, 126, I believe, Republicans voted to pass the FISA reauthorization without that amendment. Anna Paulina Luna is trying to do something procedurally to where she gets one more vote on Monday. She's going to be sending letters to all 400 and something of the representatives to try to get one last vote. But as Thomas Massie said, Speaker Johnson lit the Constitution on fire. To think that we have a Republican Party circulating. Well, did he say it was let me double check what Wesley Hunt said, who circulated this memo today? The White House circulated a memo today. That the White House circulated a memo today that the Fourth Amendment is a threat to national security. Every Republican should have taken the steps and said, look what this government's trying to do to you. Instead, the Republican Party were like, yeah, Joe Biden, we're with you. We got to get rid of that pesky Fourth Amendment. We've got to ensure that the government doesn't have any restrictions and can do whatever they want to do to drag as many Americans as they want into the gulag. That's what this is all about. And Trump made a huge mistake on the very day that this went down for him to have Mike Johnson show up at Mar-a-Lago and say that he's doing a very good job. I have the clip of that, Sesame, if you want to play it.
We're getting along very well with the speaker, and I get along very well with Marjorie. We have a speaker. He was voted in, and it was a complicated process, and I think it's not an easy situation for any speaker. I think he's doing a very good job. He's doing wow. About as good as you're going to do, and I'm sure that Marjorie understands that. She's a very good friend of mine, and I know she has a lot of respect.
Wow. Wow. Those words should have never come out of his. Just 2 days ago, he was tweeting out, kill FISA. And now he's standing there next to the guy that just lit the Constitution on fire, saying he's doing a very good job. And let me tell you why he is. Because in order to placate us, in order to shut us up, in order to try to continue the charade that the Republican Party gives a crap about our freedoms, Speaker Johnson introduced the SAVE Act, which would ensure only U.S. citizens can vote in elections. It would require blue states to obtain proof of citizenship for voter registration. It deports illegal aliens who register to vote. 6 years in prison for registering an illegal. Oh, so he throws out some never going to pass bill, some little dangles, some carrot out there, and he gets himself next to Trump, and Trump's saying he's doing a good job. Look, I was against those that were hand-wringing and going ridiculous over Trump, over the abortion thing, because, you know, it has to stay at the states for now. And what did I say? The biggest thing that we have to deal with is the deep state corruption. And Trump validated it for a promise of a SAVE Act that's never going to pass. Johnson played Trump like a fiddle today. And I'm embarrassed for Trump. Anything you want to say? And I could be just having a bad, because I'm having a bad day because a friend of mine's in the hospital. But I've always said that I advocate for ideas. I do not advocate for a party, and I don't advocate for a politician. And we need to be pushing back on Trump and telling him, smacking him, figuratively speaking, like in the movie Moonstruck, snap out of it. What are you thinking? Sesame?
Yeah, that is disappointing. Look, obviously, I like Trump. I'm a fan of him, but he's had some missteps. He does have his blind spots, and this is a pretty bad one. And we do need to hold his feet to the fire on this one. He needs to understand, I'd be surprised if he doesn't put two and two together, because this whole FISA thing, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It really is. Mike Johnson's been a train wreck since he's been in power. So look, this maybe is just lip service. I don't know what his instinct is or who he's listening to. But look, we do need to remind Trump and just push back on this. Mike Johnson is everything that is wrong with the GOP, with the uniparty establishment. He's carrying water for everybody that's trying to kill conservative America. And this is embarrassing for Trump. I mean, it's just, this is a sad thing. He should have just said nothing if he was going to say something like that. I mean, no response would have been much, much better than that. That was just sad. So I don't know. I don't know what he's truly thinking, but that was a pathetic little speech about it, because truly Mike Johnson's been a train wreck, and he might be worse than McCarthy. So
he is
in a lot of ways. It's been a severe letdown. He's turned out to be a real turncoat in every way possible. So I just feel like such a fool for even thinking Mike Johnson could be good for us, because he's been stabbing us in the back every single second. And I hope that Trump sees that. I do genuinely wonder, does
Trump
he?
Doesn't. Trump is following the same playbook that he did in 2016, where he let the establishment come and whisper in his ear mm-hmm. and sweet talk him and allow the, and he's allowing himself to be played. He does not need Speaker Johnson, who, just as Thomas Massie correctly said, lit the Constitution on fire to win. He needs to stop thinking the establishment is going to cost him votes, which is what they want. He's down there to try to sabotage Trump, is what Johnson is doing. And Trump may not recognize it, but I do. We're going to take a break. I'm going to try to calm down. Maybe I'll just shift gears to the other war that's brewing, and that's around the world.
Andrea Kaye, telling you like it is, while eating a donut too. It's the Andrea Kaye Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. If you missed the last segment, we were talking about how Speaker Johnson, what, as Andy Biggs said, he is the ringleader of the D.C. cartel. That has been exposed. And before we move on, if you missed all the details of what we talked about, download the podcast wherever you get your pods. Thomas Massie said, this is how the Constitution dies, by a tie vote. The amendment to require a warrant to spy on Americans goes down in flames. This is a sad day for America. The speaker, here's the point of why I wanted to read this before we move on. He said, the speaker doesn't always vote in the House, but he was the tiebreaker today. He voted against warrants. Now, I heard from Emerald Robinson, who's one of the last few real journalists we have left, that a lot of what went down was that the intelligence community had a little sit down with Johnson, that he was invited to a skiff and came out of the skiff and changed his mind on warrants. So remember when, was it Chuck Schumer who said to Trump, you know, you don't want to go up against the intelligence community because they got a lot of different ways to hurt you. That's what's going on. Johnson didn't have the courage, obviously, or the strength to stand up to anybody. I don't know what he actually believes. He doesn't appear to have any actual core principles or values, in my opinion. Or, you know, he would say no. He would stand up and do what's right. If that's true. Or maybe the intelligence community just said, look, Mr. Super Christian, we got the goods on you. Here's where it is. Now, you going to play ball with us or what? Before we move on, what do you think it is? What's your gut tell you about Johnson?
My gut tells me that he is a charlatan.
Yes.
A con artist who
yes.
put on this facade of being, you know, a patriotic but reasonable and articulate man who has a firm grasp of how the government works and what the Republican base really wants. And he presented himself as this guy who is sort of like a white knight that came into town out of nowhere to save us in our hour of need because we were struggling to, you know, agree in totality with who should, you know, take the reins after McCarthy's ouster. But in reality, I feel like there's been a lot of backdoor sneaking around, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of colluding and stuff going on, or at least, you know, plotting. I don't know. He seems like someone that really takes time to calculate in the worst possible way before he makes some kind of decision. I don't get the sense that he is showing us his true, authentic self, and he's setting the stage for a very dark world. I saw a video on Twitter the other day of some Trump supporter in California who, I guess, FBI agents showed up at his house, then started knocking on his door and speaking to him, and as soon as they saw through the blinds that he was filming them, they immediately stopped talking and walked away. And it's like, this is this the new normal for Trump supporters around the country, or for J6 defendants? What's happening to them? Is that just the new precedent that's being established? I mean, Mike Johnson he just feels a lot more sinister. I don't know what's in his heart. I can't say that, but I my gut tells me that he's been conning us since day one, and I just don't trust him. I don't trust a word that he has to say. I am done with him. No more.
Yeah. Yeah. To say I'm disappointed in Trump, because it's it mm-hmm. because he seems to be falling for the same crap. Did he not learn anything? You know, him getting elected means nothing to me. If he's going to get elected and let the establishment control him like they did in 2016, there's no point. That's the reality. We had both houses of Congress and him in the White House. We had the most secure border we had ever had, but was it really secured? No, really wasn't. Even the economic revival that we had came at a cost of people here in California being able to write off their property taxes or their mortgage interest. I can't remember what it was. So, we didn't get the Obamacare repealed and replaced. What Trump pushed through was amazing without the Republican Party support. But how much more could he have gotten done if he hadn't let the enemy get in bed with him? And I understood it at the time. I understand it now. But he should have the hindsight now to say, I'm not going to do that again. But here he is. And we need to push back on him and tell him, man, don't be counting on our votes. Don't be, because some of us are able to see the bigger picture. Voting somebody with an R after their name obviously means nothing if they're going to act like a Democrat. What do we get? So and we need to all be screaming loudly to him. And those in his circle, like my friend Dr. Gina and others, need to be saying, a huge misstep, my dude. You need to correct that. You need to clean up that mess on aisle 9. All right, moving on from that, let's get into the fact that we're close to a third world war, that Iran is expected to attack Israel in the next 2 days, and that U.S. Warships are moved to that area, which makes me very concerned because my godson is in the Navy, although he's at flight school in Pensacola. So hopefully, but he can be called up, but, you know, to do something else, even though he's not through flight school at this point. I pulled a clip from one of the last few real journalists, Jennifer Griffin. Yes, she's from Fox, but she's actually one of the last few real investigative reporters left. And here's what she had to say about things going on in the Middle East. And you got to remember, as she says here, she's been covering that area for 30 years. Sesame, if you can play the clip.
Hi, Neil. I've been covering the Middle East for 30 years, as you know, and I have never seen things so tense with the potential for a wider war breaking out between Israel and Iran, which could draw the U.S. and others into a wider Middle East war. Until now, the U.S. has been facing Iranian proxies, but in the wake of the Israeli strike on April 1st in Damascus, Syria, that killed the Iranian Revolutionary Guard general and 6 other top Iranian commanders responsible for arming Iran's proxy groups, Iran appears poised to avenge that attack with a massive show of force targeting Israeli territory. In recent days, the U.S. has pre-positioned additional military assets in the region. The attacks by the Houthis, supported by Iran, continue to threaten U.S. ships in the Red Sea. Tensions are at an all-time high. U.S. officials tell me that they have seen movement suggesting that Iranian ballistic missiles could launch any day. Israeli warplanes are patrolling the skies along the borders, and Israel's military has been put on high alert for a massive missile and drone strike that is expected to emanate from Iran. The U.S. embassy told Americans who work for the embassy not to leave Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, or Beersheba in coming days, and to avoid travel to the north or south of Israel. The head of U.S. Central Command, General Eric Kurilla, was in Israel to meet with Israel's Minister of Defense, Yoav Gallant, who praised General Kurilla as a true friend of Israel. General Kurilla briefed his Israeli defense counterparts on the latest intelligence and is still in.
Okay. Sorry for that little glitchy business at the end there. U.S. General Kurilla was over there meeting with the IDF. This is really perilous. This could really get ugly really quickly. And let me tell y'all, the U.S., the Biden administration, the Biden regime would welcome that in spite of the fact. And one of the reasons why is because who's likely to get involved in this situation? Possibly Russia. And, you know, Russia's the big boogeyman for the left. And, that aside, what's the best way for them to try to call off an election in November in hopes that this is going to not just bolster their, you know, because anytime we're at war, there's such a weird phenomenon. At least there used to be. There used to be so much pro-American sentiment that if there was a war, people would just, all Americans would rally behind, even far lefties who rallied behind George W. Bush in the early days. I don't think that that's the case here. I don't think that Americans are going to rally behind Joe Biden, but I do think it would give them an excuse to call off the election. That's a possible way of how this could play out. This is incredibly dangerous for us, and not on top of the fact that Jennifer Griffin's talking about drone strikes and other stuff. How about a nuclear strike paid for by us? Remember the nuclear deal that John Kerry brokered over there that was secret and none of us were allowed to see what the details were and how they were going to self-monitor themselves. And then we money laundered about $400 million to them in the middle of the night, paying for their nuclear reactor capability program. Yeah, where are we at with that? This is incredibly dangerous. I'm incredibly, incredibly concerned. Sesame, are you?
Yeah, I am. This is certainly the closest we've been to a direct military confrontation in a long, long time. I know the government seems to be taking it at least fairly seriously, considering that there's a travel warning out. There's travel warnings from lots of different countries. The USS Dwight Eisenhower's off the coast of Israel in the Red Sea with equipment to deter any kind of missiles or drones that might come from Iran. And the Ayatollah certainly, is no stranger to bloodshed and to, foment, really supporting terror. I mean, Iran is operating the largest state sponsor of terror on the planet right now. And I don't know what they're going to do, but I very much am afraid for the people of Israel and certainly for anyone else. I mean, that's our biggest ally and one of our strongest allies on the world stage. And they're in a fight for their life right now. They're fighting for survival. And Iran is, again, they're I don't think they have any ethical, qualms when it comes to drone striking, missile striking, doing whatever it takes to quash the Israeli people, to retaliate, to do whatever it is that they feel is justified. If they think it's reasonable, they'll do it. This is incredibly frightening. It's terrifying. And I really do want to pray for the people of Israel. And I will say just also the strange thing to me is the fact that John Kirby comes out today and says that they think the threats from Tehran are very credible. So much so that they'll send warships to the Red Sea. But then when he's asked about taking action if Iran follows up on their threats, he refuses to say anything at all. The White House refuses to give any kind of position. And look, I'm not interested in getting involved in a direct war in theory. Sometimes that does happen. Sometimes it is justified. Sometimes it is a necessary thing that you have to do, even if it's terrible, because war is hell. But sometimes for the greater good, you have to get involved. And that kind of weakness from the White House just invites aggression, which is part of the reason why I think this is happening right now, because Biden is weak.
Well, it also ignores the reality of who Iran is, that Israel is the little Satan and we're the big Satan. Mm-hmm. And, who remembers Ahmadinejad, right? Threatening over and over and over again that the plan was with their nuclear capability that we were funding, by the way, that their pledge was to wipe Israel and the United States off the map. It may not be a choice whether or not we're in this war. So it's, and we don't have a military prepared to fight it. We don't have an American population citizenry that is prepared for it either. We don't have the capability. Not only is our military not battle ready, I don't know that if this becomes nuclear. And it's interesting because just the other day, some outlet was putting out what a nuclear suddenly, and I saved it and sent it to myself. And I thought, well, isn't this weird? Why am all of a sudden seeing, I'm going to have to look for it now during the break, all about what a nuclear war might be like before any of this started happening. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to see if I can find this because it just seems a little sus that this came over to me right before this situation brewed.
Andrea Kay, telling you like it is, while eating a donut, too. It's the Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. If you miss any part of the show, don't forget to download the podcast. If you've got a bug out right now and go to dinner plans, download the podcast because we got so much more to get into tonight. Email me at andreakayshow.com, andreakayshow.com. All right. I sent this to myself the other day because something about it just bugged me. Here was the headline: The Day of Nuclear Armageddon. Newly declassified documents reveal in a macabre minute-by-minute detail what the end of the world would look like and why those vaporized instantly by an atomic bomb will be the lucky ones. And I just thought it was weird that why this would suddenly be declassified and why they want this out there in the public. And you've got to remember that there's always a game being played on us. There's always a psychological operation. So for some reason, they want us to be, I don't know if this is because they want us to put pressure on Israel to do some kind of peace deal, which is, you know, I mean, some of the, you know, Bernie Sanders came out today demanding that the United States not give another dime to Israel. Oh, by the way, while, you know, Johnson is about to want to shove through another $60 billion for Ukraine. But there's a reason why, and not because they care about American citizens, there's a reason why they decided they wanted to push out, some panic porn over nuclear Armageddon. And that's got to be what this is about. Somehow to get us to be begging the United States. And that could be what this is all about too, with this warning, right? I don't trust our intelligence community. Jennifer Griffin is reporting what she's being told by the DOD and what she's being told by the IC. This could all be just some kind of psyop on us. What do you think, Sesame?
Well, I don't know exactly what to think yet, but in principle, based on everything that's happened, I do not trust the intelligence community. The NSA, the CIA, the FBI, you name it. They've proven themselves to be completely at odds with us, completely unhinged. They do sinister things for their own political purposes. You've got these power-hungry bureaucrats that have very little check or balance on their power when I think about it. I mean, sure, they get overseen by people like, what, Merrick Garland? But Merrick Garland today was calling the offices of Congress people saying, you know, make sure you kill Andy Biggs's amendment. So, yeah, no, I don't trust the intel community. That's for sure. So maybe it could be a psyop. I don't know, but I'm open to it. And I don't put anything past the intel community at this point. They really have just shown themselves to be pure evil in my mind. I want them
absolutely gone,
dismantled. We do not need them around anymore. There's no possibility of reform. I mean, Mike Johnson, he's saying, guys, we don't need this amendment from Biggs because there's 56 different reforms and they're going to work this time. But like Jim Jordan said, they didn't work last time. So why should we think it's going to be any different now? And even if it is different on paper, they're going to do what they want anyway because they can. So get rid of them.
Right. And if Trump doesn't understand, if Trump thinks that that's true, he's not going to make any difference he's not going to effectively do anything to change the trajectory of this country when he gets into the White House. If he is not prepared to dismantle the FBI, mm-hmm. if he's not prepared to go scorched earth mm-hmm. and rout out and get rid of and peak slimp everybody in the intelligence community, every one of them, we're not going to change this country. Because that's who's killing us from within. It's the deep state, which is, and shame on Sean Hannity. Remember Sean Hannity saying years ago, it's just a few people at the top. I told people then stop listening to that clown. Stop listening to that shill for the deep state. It's exactly what he was. In fact, I think I might have a clip of Bill Barr. And this is, the OG of the deep state on, I think he might have been on MSNBC talking about how killing FISA is going to result in a successful terrorist attack and loss of life, if you could play that.
We're faced with probably the greatest threat to the homeland from terrorist attack, and our primary means of defending against that is FISA. And to take that tool away, I think, is going to result in successful terrorist attack and a loss of life.
What a lying, filthy piece of human waste. How dare he? The greatest tool. We are facing the greatest threat that we've had against a terror attack. And why, Bill Barr? The open border. Christopher Wray is coming out saying a threat warning about a coordinated terror attack. Yeah, you coordinated it. You and Bill Barr and Mayorkas and the entire deep state uniparty establishment did. And now you try to lie to us and tell us that FISA is going to stop it? Man, y'all using FISA to drag Americans, not terrorists. What a load of crap. I want to know what American out there is believing in this crap. Because we know that the Mad Cows and the Nicole Wallace's, they know what time of day it is. They know that this is all a ruse and it's all a lie. And they're happy. They're happy about it. If FISA was going to stop a terrorist attack, why didn't it stop the Boston Marathon bombing? Why didn't it stop Fort Hood? Why didn't it stop Pulse Nightclub? Why didn't it stop San Bernardino or any of the other ones? Because it's the Americans who believe in America first who are the terrorists that they're looking for. They don't give a crap. They probably could have stopped that Moscow one, right? Didn't care. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to end this hour with some laughs. I need a laugh. Cue Kamala Harris. Where do y'all get a load of this?
Andrea Kay, bringing the world a much-needed reality check. You're listening to The Andrea Kay Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. Couple of announcements. By the way, oh boy, don't we need to be on our knees and praying and getting close to God now more than ever? I am honored to be asked yet again to host the National Day of Prayer for the San Diego Downtown Fellowship of Churches and Ministries. This year, it's going to be on Thursday, May 2nd. It's going to be down at Ruoco Park by Seaport Village, same place it was at last year. It's outside. Bring your chairs, bring your blankets. It drizzled last year, but it was absolutely wonderful. We had always done it at the San Diego Presbyterian Church downtown, and that's beautiful, obviously. You know, I love that kind of a church and sanctuary, but there's something about being out in the community. It almost feels more Christ-like to be out and be among the community. And so I'm going to be hosting it again. Wendy Patrick is going to be there. I can't even remember so many of the people that are going to be there, but it's May 2nd, Ruoco Park. Lots of music and worship and great guest speakers. And I'm going to be there once again, hosting it May 2nd, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. down at Ruoco Park. I'm going to be posting that on the socials. Also got to remind you guys, we got to be on our knees in prayer and we got to be taking care of our bodies and staying healthy for the fight. I have joined the movement of iwantmyhealthback.com. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/AK. Use the Nanosoma spray. Try it and thank me later. And now you can thank me for a giggle. Sesame Broccolini, you grew up in California. I did not. So I could be wrong at thinking that VP Harris is saying a bunch of nonsense that she's pulling out of her hiney here. But the Japanese president made a visit here. And Vice President Harris, of course, in her most obsequious manner, decided to suck up to him and said this nonsense. Please play the clip.
Mr. Prime Minister, we are so grateful for your commitment to our alliance. And I will say, as a proud daughter of California, I grew up surrounded by Japanese American culture and history.
Sesame, I didn't grow up here, but I've been in San Diego and California a long time. The culture and history that is around me all day, every day, thank you very much, is taco shops and Pueblo-style architecture and Espanol. Can you enlighten me? Can you share with me where all this Japanese-American culture and history
yeah,
is?
Yeah, if by Japanese-American she means the spicy tuna rolls at the Vons. then yeah, if that's what she means, then sure. I mean, and we got a Shogun and a Benihana, so sure.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I hadn't eaten at that. I did eat at the Benihana's a couple times in Mission Valley back when the Xerox office was next door. You're right. I was surrounded by some Japanese.
I didn't realize
culture.
It was a cultural experience necessarily that was worth documenting to the Prime Minister of Japan.
I know. Yeah, Prime Minister. I called him the President. Exactly. I didn't know. I was being so steeped. Wow.
Yeah, I'll give her this. Her imagination knows no bounds. I mean, she cracks me up, you know? Like, this is, she makes it up on the spot. I mean, she plays by her own rules, I guess. Just I love this picture she paints, too, of this, like, multicultural Kamala Harris. Like she's deep. Yeah, okay, all right.
She's about as deep as Gator's water bowl. Oh, my gosh. See, we needed Kamala today because I needed a laugh. Unfortunately, the rest of the world is laughing, too. When I saw the clip, but they didn't cut to the dude's face. I just wish we had seen his face when she's saying this nonsense. Remember back in the debate when she started talking about that girl on the bus? She was talking about how she'd been riding the segregated school buses when that started and it ended long before she was in grade school, but she already had some t-shirts made of her like in the second grade. Remember that? I wouldn't put it past her to have made up some t-shirts with her holding some chopsticks as a kid, right? And then
little Kamala in a mini kimono.
Oh my gosh, we're such a laughing stock. At least we can laugh when we've got a nuke about headed our way, you know? Sometimes I'm like, go ahead and take me out. You know what? Jesus, take the wheel, okay? Oh my goodness. I needed to get that laugh out. We've got some more laughs coming next hour. We've got this. Remember that Dalton mayor who got busted and got all mad that her black peeps were coming after her for wasting money? We got a little bit from her next hour. We're going to have some more fun. We're also going to have Hero of the Week and Stink of the Week. So, and a crazy story out of Bakersfield. Wow. Wait till y'all hear this. So go have a little break and then come back for hour two.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.